on your phone, iPad, tablet, and the internet. Cab Chat Radio Show. You're listening to Cab Chat.
Where you're hearing things.
The Taxi Charity for Military Veterans is 70 years old this year, and the following programme explores its past, present and future through the words and memories of the trustees, the volunteer drivers and of course the reason for the charity, the veterans themselves.
Went to Normandy and we also went to Holland, and when we was in Holland
I was fully qualified by the time I was 18 and then deployed to Afghanistan when I was 19, and then I got injured when I was 20, which resulted in...
They got together and they thought what they would like to do was take their mates and their friends who'd been injured in World War II, take them out on trips.
You knew what was happening at us. Somebody had been killed and they was getting the telegraph.
I witnessed the last British warship to be sunk in Kola Inlet, 1945.
She was a little girl. The guy I take over, he remembered her hanging out the window waving a flag on June the 6th evening.
In June of this year, the British Legion took the Anzio and Monte Cassino veterans back out there, and I found three of my shipmates' graves.
My name's Dick Goodwin and I'm a Vice President on the Taxi Charity for Military Veterans. We recently changed our name from London Taxi Benevolent Association for War Disabled, and the fact that I'm a Vice President means that I'm one of the non-cab drivers on the committee. The charity was set up by about half a dozen cab drivers in February 1948 in the Bedford Arms, Dawes Road in Fulham. They got together and they thought what they would like to do was take their mates and their friends who'd been injured in World War II, take them out on trips. So they had a whip round amongst them, they got some other market traders involved, and they raised some money. And the first trip, they took the veterans or the wounded down to Brighton. After that, they went to Worthing, and the annual outing has gone to Worthing ever since. What we try to do on the charity is to take the veterans back to the battlefields and the theatres of where they fought in World War II. Obviously, we can't do the Far Eastern ones, but we can easily manage the Netherlands, Belgium and France. So we've arranged many trips to take the veterans in taxis, and the number of taxis is normally about 90. We normally have about over 300 people in the whole party, and we've taken the vets back. We arrange events for them, get them to meet the local people who just absolutely love them and adore them, and we do what we can for them. We make the trip as memorable as possible for them. I think the first time they went back was a Dunkirk trip, and that was in the 1990s. Then they decided to go over to Normandy after the anniversary celebrations. I think, and that was in a July, also in the 1990s. They did a couple of trips back.
And do the locals put together special receptions and stuff for the veterans?
It's different on what country you go to. In France, you do get a little bit of acknowledgement and support, but if you go to the Netherlands, the people turn out in absolute thousands to see them. Again, it depends on what event you go to, but the Dutch people absolutely love our veterans. They can't do enough for them, and they turn out in the thousands. They've befriended them. There's so many personal relationships have built up and last for years. They let the veterans stay in their houses. They make them godfathers to their children. They just can't do enough for our lads.
There's 40 shillings on the drum for those who volunteer to come to list and fight the foe today over the hills and far away. O'er the hills and o'er the plain, through Flanders, Portugal and Spain, King George commands and we obey over the hills and far away. When duty calls me, I must go to stand and face another foe.
Waterloo Uncovered was very interesting. We're trying to spread our wings as much as we can and get involved in as many projects and with as many other charities as possible. The fact that this is also happens to be our 70th anniversary is another excuse to try and cram in as much as possible in this year. So the invitation came through James, who's the new head of the Not Forgotten Association. James is Coldstream Guards, and he introduced me to Mark Evans, whose idea the project was. Mark is a ex-captain in the Coldstreams, and he also has an archaeology degree. So he came to us and said, would it be possible to take veterans out to Waterloo and the Hougoumont farm in taxis? And we said, yeah, that wouldn't be a problem at all. The initial concept was just to take three veterans out. Take three taxis out for two nights, and we extended it to eight taxis for four nights, I think they went in the end.
Okay, so I'm Matt Weston. I joined the Army at age 16, straight from school. I joined the Royal Engineers, and I specialised in bomb disposal, When I was 17, I joined the regiment, and I was fully qualified by the time I was 18, and then deployed to Afghanistan when I was 19, and then I got injured when I was 20, which resulted in loss of both legs, right hand, and a few internal organs, hearing damage, shot myself through the leg, my thumb kind of fell off, chunk missing from my other arm, so a few scratches and scrapes. Interesting how I got involved, actually. So I work for Barclays Bank, and there's someone that we put in contact with the charity. And now, essentially, I took his place because of medical reasons. He unfortunately couldn't make it, and he was supposed to go and kind of help represent the bank. And when he wasn't able to go, I don't know how, but my boss's boss actually agreed that I could go and it would count as work. So I didn't take any leave, still getting paid. It was brilliant. And I didn't really know much about the charity. So it went from never hearing about the charity to me going within a week and a half. The one concern throughout was actually, I guess, around travel, because I'm in a very big, heavy electric wheelchair, which does not fold down. And they had four minibuses and not a single one of them was accessible, and they couldn't get one. And actually, that's when they originally approached Dave to say, would you mind driving Matt all the way from his flat in London to Belgium?
My name's Dave Hempstead. I'm a volunteer taxi driver for the taxi charity for military veterans. I've just come back from a trip to Belgium. I was asked by Waterloo Uncover to pick Matt up from East London to go down and meet at Dover Docks. All got on the ferry, albeit a little bit late. So we all had a cup of tea inside, and I met my hero, which is Phil Harding from Time Team. And you should have seen a smile on my face when he came on the boat, because I used to love Time Team. And I ended up digging in his team.
Well, I use black cabs a lot in London. Say, for instance, the Underground is not accessible. Yeah, great, I can use the DLR. I can use bits of the Jubilee line, but rush hour, not a chance in hell. I'll actually even get on said train. Can't use buses, my wheelchair's too big and heavy. So I do rely on black cabs, and I use them probably, six, seven times a week, whether it be just to go up the road to where I live, or I'm going all the way over to a hospital over in Kensington in summer. So I do use cabs a lot, and I know how accessible they are. And I always love talking to, black cab drivers, because you get such a vast variety of drivers, and I talk too much anyway, and I'm sure they get fed up having customers just sat there on their phone the whole time. So I do like talking, and you meet all sorts of people. So knowing that I've got that level of accessibility and that support all the way through from, end to end was brilliant. I don't really get out of my little community because, travel, it's not easy. I can't use trains, so even just getting down to Somerset to see my family, the only time I get to see that is over Christmas, when my father-in-law drives an accessible vehicle from Somerset up here to collect me just to turn around and drive back. So just being able to get around the country, I don't really get around very much. So I know there's others like me. If I was on a manual wheelchair, great, I could probably do that a bit easier. I can collapse down and go in a normal car. But because of my wheelchair, I know I can't really do that. And, I get the opportunity to go over to Belgium. I mean, that's pretty cool. Dave was there to help me get in and out the cab. Dave obviously was accustomed to me and other people in wheelchairs, and I know that I didn't have to worry about getting on the ferry on my own. I guess it's just peace of mind knowing that end to end, as far as travel goes, there was no issues. There's a lot of history to the Battle of Waterloo, and Waterloo Uncovered is the only charity or organisation or anything that does professional archaeology of the site. So there's a lot of history there that has almost been forgotten or covered over. So it's of great importance, and actually just being somewhere where history was made that ultimately affected the power balance in Europe, and then therefore the world.
To stand and face another foe, a part of me will always stray over the hills and far away, o'er the hills and o'er the main, through Flanders, Portugal and Spain.
We was at Hougoumont Farm, which is part of the battlefield, and a cluster of musket balls. So they realised that they were all firing at one thing at some point, more than likely one bloke, and he's had about 30 muskets firing at him. But where the way all laid in the ground, that gives you an idea how intense and where the firefight was.
If I should fall to rise no more, as many comrades did before, then ask the fire. Over the hills and far away, o'er the hills.
was a fantastic week, the best week I've ever had, helping the veterans and being with the veterans. If anybody gets a chance to do this, go for it. Absolutely fascinating, I loved it.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
At Pegasus Bridge, a remembrance service and tribute to soldiers of 6th Airborne Division. British Airborne Forces captured the canal bridge near Caen shortly after midnight on D-Day. It was a daring operation using gliders and paratroops. The crossing was later named Pegasus Bridge after the airborne troops' emblem. Every year, veterans come to Normandy to commemorate what became known as the Longest Day. This time, many of them have been driven here by London taxi drivers. Earlier, a fleet of 90 cabs had left the capital bound for France. The taxi charity has been ferrying old soldiers to World War II battlegrounds since 1948.
It's just giving back something for what they've done and thanking them for what they've done. Unless without them, we wouldn't be here today. And they was 18, 19, 20 year old. They'd just done their duty. They'd just done what they thought was right. And you see them there and you think, oh, what lots of argued with you when you were 20 years old, you know. And some of them still give you a good licking, I think.
Veteran Alec Nibbs has only admiration for the taxi drivers.
In fact, they all have a great sense of humour, you know. They're chatting all the time about what's happening, but also in such a friendly fashion, you can't help enjoying it. It's really very, very special, yes.
It may be a final taxi ride to Europe, but it's not short of highlights. D-Day was the biggest invasion in history and led to the downfall of Nazi Germany. Now France's highest military honour is awarded to 4 of the British soldiers involved. Among those to receive the Legion d'Honneur, Roy Maxwell.
Oh yes, we came up the towpath and then we crossed Pegasus Bridge and went to Amfreville and consolidated there, you know, and the enemy were saying hello every so often.
Memories of D-Day are still in the minds of many who came ashore in June 1944. Memories that London cabbies are helping to refresh. Rob Olver, Forces News, Normandy.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know when. But I know we'll. Some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello.
When we plan these trips, we try and plan them over a year in advance, and we start off with approaching the hotels, trying to get a rough idea of how many cabs we'll take. The big trips have been 80 cabs, 90 cabs, so we approach the hotels and make sure that they've got the hotel space. That is the first thing to do. You've then, if you're going to go at a popular time, like for argument's sake, for D-Day, you need to go and get the ferry space also. Not so much if you're going for VE Day or for Liberation Services, the ferry's a little bit emptier then because that's May. But if you're going in June, you definitely need the ferry space. You then have to go over there, get the local authorities on side with you, and you have to make as many recce trips as possible to the area that you're going to. And you have to go and try and plan every route. And the way I look at it is if I'm dealing with royalty. So the veterans are royalty, and you have to go and make sure that everything all the way along the line is okay for them, that when they get to a T-junction, everyone knows you've got to go left and not right, and that basically you have to go and check the hotels, make sure the hotels are suitable for them, anything that needs changing, i.e. bath mats, that they've all got bath mats in them, and this type of thing. So it is a massive undertaking, but as long as you stick to a pre-formulated plan, it normally works okay. We do all the recceing ourselves. I try and go on as many of the trips as possible, simply because I already have the contacts through the work I did with the photography and building up the contacts with local people regarding veterans. So I try and build up as much of the planning as possible beforehand, down to what restaurant you're going to eat in, what type of food you're going to have, the entertainment in the evening, times you go over routes, so you know how long will that take to get from A to B. You're doing it in a car, you then add another half hour because obviously the cabs are slower. Everything is taken care of. Where we're going to get the water from for them, if you think you've got 300 people, you need 300 bottles of water a day. Obviously you're there for 4 days, so that's 1200 bottles of water, so somewhere you've got to keep 1200 bottles of water. We try and work out, you know, what the veterans might need over there. So my wife normally tries to prepare a goodie bag for every one of them, so that they've all got the basic articles and things that they would need for being over there on a 4 day trip. The other thing that we need to do is, so if we're going on a journey of maybe about an hour, we need to send people ahead if we're not being escorted, and we need to make sure that the car parks and the way is clear ahead, and where we're going to, they're ready and they've got an idea of our expected arrival time. Also on these trips, we take medical staff with us, we take paramedics. We've always got the local medical teams that we can call on, but we take paramedics with us just to make sure that everyone's okay over morning before we set off, and any problems that have happened overnight, that they've taken their tablets. If they're on tablets that must be taken at a certain time, that they're all taken, and the medical staff that we take with us work extremely hard. They're always the last to get their breakfast of a morning. They work extremely hard, and we're very thankful for them for coming along with us. We also take mechanics, because unfortunately taxis are always prone to breakdowns, and you can't always pick a part up locally. So we take mechanics who will take all the major parts for the taxis, and if possible they'll take an A-frame, so if anything needs to be towed, it can be towed as well. So it is one massive logistical operation, but we get there.
I'm Eddie Hillary. I was Royal Signals and eventually volunteered for Airborne Forces 16th Independent Parachute Brigade. My day as a committee member, obviously, is a lot different to the veterans. I have to get up in the morning and make sure that transportation is all right, together with, obviously, my colleagues. Make sure that the catering arrangements are all right for the rest of the day. Make sure they've all got out of bed that morning and they're all accounted for on the numbers, and then gradually, like, get them into breakfast, get them out of breakfast, get them loaded up, which is always a problem on our big trips. Loading them up, unloading is a big problem. Well, you lose them occasionally, and then you get them, they come up and there's the cab waiting to take Harry and Bill, but Charlie's gone to the toilet and Harry's going to ride with us, and Bill wants to go with the other, and they drive you absolutely insane. But in the end, you sort it out, they all get on board and we get on our way. Give them a good day out, make sure they're fed and watered, and at the end of the day they'll come up and say, oh, lovely time, Ed, lovely time, or whoever they're talking to. But of course I've got 16 committee members who all play a part, and they'll do their job, different jobs obviously. I'm more involved with the veterans, as is Dickie and Billy, Graham and one or two of the others. A couple of more of the committee there on more academic, doing the treasurer's job, secretary, chairman, that sort of thing. But we all play a part, they all do their job, and they all do it on a voluntary basis. ¶¶
this is our 70th year, and we've had the opportunity and invitation to attend the Spazkaya, and I hope I've got the spelling of that right, Spazkaya Festival in Moscow. The invitation was for a veteran to take a salute in Red Square, and we've got a very appropriate veteran. It's an old boy named Ernie Davis, who was actually in the Royal Navy, and he was on the Arctic convoys during World War II. He's been to Russia many times. He's met all of the top officials in Russia, and he has many of the medals that they've awarded our Royal Navy sailors.
My name is Ernie Davis, and I was on Russian convoys during the war. I witnessed the last British warship to be sunk in Kola Inlet, 1945. I'm off to Moscow on the 22nd for about 5 or 6 days. Looking forward to that, and you never know who you meet over there.
John King, I was in the Royal Navy. I joined up when I was just turned 18, and we went the furthest I went up to was up to Spitsbergen, rather, not Slitland, and then we went out into the Mediterranean, and we were doing the bombardings all round the Italian coast, both sides. We done the Anzio landings, and that was the 23rd of January 1944, 21st of January 1944. On the 23rd of January, my ship got sunk. I was on HMS Janus, was a destroyer, and I lost 160 shipmates, and only 52 of us got off. I was very lucky. And then in June of this year, the British Legion took the Anzio and Monte Cassino veterans back out there, and I found 3 of my shipmates' graves. So that was very touching, you know.
One of the things that used to be predominant in the neighbourhood, you'd see a telegraph boy come down the street on a bike, and he'd pull up at one of the houses, and then he'd go up the houses. You knew what was happening in the house. Somebody had been killed, and they was getting the telegraph. That 15-year-old boy on the bike was delivering a death notice. How do you think he felt? It was a total different scenario. You just grew up with it, and that is the picture, the mental picture, which you grew up with. And of course, we're national service, or you got the service call, you just went into it. We was lined up to go on a stick or jump on Suez, and just by pure chance, I could have been in front of him, or he could have been in front of me. As it was, I was in front of him. I jumped, he got his legs blown off, I got away with it clear. Just by a mere one step away. He should have been in front of me, I should have been in front of him. There you go, fate. And he was a national serviceman, doing 2 years for his country. Really, probably didn't know what he was doing there. And there he was, got his legs blown off. Got to live with it for the rest of his life.
When we decided to go to the Netherlands in 2012, it was very obvious that we needed to raise a substantial amount of money to make this trip be successful. We got together a band of veterans and we asked them if they'd like to come out fundraising for us, and they all agreed that they would. That then spiraled with many of them asking their friends along, and quite often we would try and collect at a station or a mainline station or underground station, and we'd have 30 veterans to try and hide in places, because you're only allowed six at most of the places you go to. So we would have to give the staff, who are normally all brilliant, but we would have to give the staff every excuse under the sun as to what this one was doing here and what that one was doing here. But we got away with it all. These guys have been out fundraising for us. We started out at the beginning of 2011, and these guys got they come out for us time after time after time in all weathers, and they stay for hours. I mean, you just can't thank them enough. It's just amazing what they've done. We've tried to add it up, and you can't really put it into figures, but we would think since 2011 this little team have probably collected in the round about £750,000 for us, and that's all railway stations, the odd football club and underground stations, and also they put pots in pubs, and they've done their own little bit of fundraising for us. We produced a calendar, a little desk calendar. So over Christmas, we go on the taxi ranks at the stations and knock the calendar out. Again, all down to the goodness of the trade, the kindness of the trade, that the money comes in. But the actual punter and Joe Public have all contributed to the veterans being able to go on these trips. We also get grants from other major charities as well, like the Army Benevolent Fund and the Royal British Legion. Royal Naval Association, RAF Benevolent Association, other military charities like that do give us grants to go on these events.
I collect for them, and I've been with them some years now. I admire what they do. They take us to different places, and they do it all voluntary, and there's nobody at the top on five figures, which I very much appreciate, and that's one of the reasons why I help these people. They're lovely people, and I'll do anything for them. Well, like today, I've introduced two or three I've got into collecting, and they come out for the day. It makes a change for them. We have a laugh when we have dinner. And we something to look forward to, you know.
No, I'm pleased with what the taxis do, and this is why now, as and when I can, I'll try to repay it and do a collection, which to me, I think I'm doing me bit, you know.
The charity is the focal point for most of them, to help out doing the collections. They look forward to going out to the stations or anything we have on offer for them to do. They're literally their linchpin that they all revolve around now, which is fantastic. Fantastic. To get a phone call to ask when the next collection is, absolutely brilliant. We know we're doing something right.
It's nice for people to come up to you and thank you and shake your hands and say thank you for what you did. And if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here, which is true. And a little girl came up to me while I've been collecting up here and at Canary Wharf, and she said, "What have you got all them medals for?" So I said, "Well, we were fighting the Germans, and if it hadn't have been for men and women like me and your grandparents, your mum wouldn't have been here, and neither would you." And the mum said, "That's too true." Well, I've been quite new at this, but haven't been doing it for too long, but I'm very pleased with what the charity does, and also the taxi drivers. They use their own time and free of charge. I mean, I've been to the Netherlands, been to Normandy, I've been to Worthing about three times with them, and the Biggin Hill show, and I'm very pleased, and this is why I want to do collection, to give back something for what they're giving to me.
These guys, as I've mentioned before, the one thing that they've got is a camaraderie between them. Now, what I see us as doing is being the glue between them. We hold them all together. We organise them, they come down, they see their pals, they have a laugh, they swap experiences, they talk about what they did, what they didn't do in the past, and that ticks all the boxes for them. That ticks all the boxes for them. And I consider that anybody that does a job like any of our committee do, not only myself, doing a worthwhile job and holding these blokes together, because this breed of guy is rapidly disappearing. Very soon, they're all going to be falling off the perch. And these breed of guys, well, they were something else. You're never going to get another breed of men like these guys were.
We was on one a couple of months ago. We went to Normandy, and we also went to Holland. And when we was in Holland, we went round the streets. It was a 4-mile course, and the veterans was in two golf buggies and a taxi behind. And there was about 150,000 people there, I think. There was queues and queues at the roadside, and it was all genuine, and couldn't thank you enough, you know.
If you go off to Arnhem in the Netherlands, then that's basically a parade. So you'll be there on the parade day, before the parade day. You'll be escorted round on possibly, the cabs might be involved in the parade, or they might put you on golf trolleys, 18-seater golf trolleys, so they have all the veterans on those, which is a lot easier to go around the parade than all, you know, diesel cabs. But they were hanging off them, you know, overcrowded them slightly. Go on to France, depending where you go, if you're going to go down to Cannes and Wistrum, that area where the beaches are, they normally have one big parade. We've been involved with it, but normally we go around and do all the smaller memorials dotted along the beach, because the beach actually got, I think it's about 18 miles, the beachfront. From where we landed at Sword Beach, you go around, you can go all the way around to Omaha where the Americans were landed. So you've got something to do all the way along. So there's different memorials, and because you're going through different boroughs, they'd all like you to stop in their borough and do, it might be Piper Billy Millen's, was Lover's Piper during the thing. You might want to be there. You've got the Lovett Memorial up the other end. You've got all the Commando Memorials, the Airborne Memorials. So there's all things to do there. Belgium, World War One mainly. So we was going back to the Menin Gate. So you do the Menin Gate service, and we do the other various Hill 60 Memorial and various other things that you can do within the confines of that area. And now, if we can get the cabs in there, it's always priority. We've got to be able to stop and park.
Thank you.
bunker complex just outside Caen is one of the places that some of the drivers just volunteer to take the guys back. Unfortunately, all the veterans that were in part of the attack on it, we had four, I believe, they've all passed away now. But all the times we've been over there, the drivers were just saying, I'm going to do Hillman with the four veterans. So there would be a couple of cabs go up there then, so everybody else can go and see it. It's one of those hidden places. It was all part of the battle. There's loads of them around there. But when you've got the people that actually went there and run up the road firing, then it's the best war walk you're ever going to have, to be there with the guys that actually done it, which is absolutely brilliant. And that's why I carry on going back to Dieppe and Normandy every year. I've been doing that for about 5 or 6 years now, going back with one guy. So it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, can't beat it. If you go to Pegasus Bridge, and that was done, that was taken by the Oxenbucks Light Infantry on June the 6th, just gone midnight. And there's a memorial there to the commandos, because they actually relieved the Oxenbucks 9 hours after. Now, the memorial's there. People think it's just airborne, but you've got a memorial there. When we done it this year on June the 6th, there must have been 40 people there, locals, because Madame Gondry, on the, who has the Café Gondry there, she was a little girl. The guy I take over, he remembered her hanging out the window waving a flag on June the 6th, the evening. So that's a link you've got, which has been going for the last 76 years. And it will keep going while we can take them back. And she appreciates it, and the locals do, because they've all been brought up on it. And so when you see a convoy of cabs, it might only be a 6-cab convoy, but people will stop and wave, especially if they've got chests full of medals. And if they're airborne, if they're in Arnhem, then that's, they dropped in the airborne, so they love a claret-coloured berry. They forget about everybody else. Nobody else was there, it was only the paras, so. But there was lots of other people involved in it. But yeah, they do love it, they do. I mean, they all say, if it wasn't for you and what you sacrificed, we wouldn't be free people. On Remembrance Sunday, I was lucky enough to take Bill Speakman, the VC winner from the Korean War, and Johnson Bahari, VC, down to Whitehall. I was their transport for the day. So to have those two in the cab and watch all the people come running up with their cameras once they realised who it was. Unfortunately, Bill's gone now. We had his service this week in the Royal Hospital. So whether I'm going to be able to do that again, I don't know. But it's been a privilege to do it all the years up till now.
As with anything, you've got to look to the future, and we have plans to try and involve younger veterans and veterans from more recent conflicts to come to us, and we will try and organise events for them, whether that's down to friendship or taking them out for the day, but we will try to do what we can for these guys. They're suffering with injuries, and any help we can give them, you know, we're more than happy to be able to do this. This is why we use social media now an awful lot, because this is the way to contact younger people. This is how we feel is the best way to try and get in touch with people, and we're setting up links with other charities, other military charities, who have already got a lot of these guys on their books. So we're doing what we can. We want as many younger veterans as possible to come and to join our ranks, and then we can organise better and more appropriate events for guys of that age. We obviously can't take them to far-flung countries, and I don't think you'd want to take them there in a taxi either. So we've organised events such as flying days, where they take part in wing walking, days at Brands Hatch, and really action adventure type days, which, you know, gives them more of a sense of purpose. We're looking to try and do something with the Red Devils and maybe do a large tandem jump if possible. So we're looking at the moment to try and recruit guys for that. The other thing that we have to consider is the armed services, Army, Navy, Air Force, are a lot smaller these days. We are dealing with a smaller group of people. So it's more important that we contact these people and get them to try and come on board with us as much as possible. We were forming contacts with Headley Court, the rehabilitation centre in Surrey. Sadly, that is moving to Leicestershire, and we hope we can maintain our contacts with that unit.
Definitely, but it's just a matter of them finding out about it, because I didn't know about this. I only found out about this, you know, I think it was about 4 weeks ago now that I found out about this. And I'd say I've had some degree of involvement with the charity since then. I mean, I was shaking a bucket earlier in the Canary Wharf station trying to raise some funds, and you know, I donated some money to the charity as well, just off the back of them driving me around for the week. And I am aiming to do a bit more, but I guess it's kind of getting people to know about it.
If you'd like to be a volunteer cab driver for the overseas trips, you have to be prepared to give up about 5 days of no pay. And also, we have a driver's meeting about a week or 2 weeks beforehand. So the driver's meeting is where you'll come to a location. Recently, it's been Millwall Football Club, and you'll have your taxi checked out there. The mechanics have come along to the meeting to go over it, and then we have we lay food on for the drivers, and then we have a briefing and we go through the itinerary with them of what is happening on each individual day. So you come to the day of the trip, you'll be given your passengers, you'll be given their details, so you phone them a couple of days beforehand, you put their minds at rest that you'll be round for them at 8 o'clock in the morning. So you'll be either picking them up from home, or you'll meet them at the Union Jack Club or the Victory Services Club, and then you pick them up and you make friends with them, you befriend them and take them into your confidence, and basically you then set off on down to where the ferry leaves, which is either Portsmouth or Harwich. Don't get lost, because that worries them. And then basically this is when the trip starts. It starts straight away. You're looking out for them, you'll get a feel for them very quickly, how their mobility is, how they are in themselves, and then it takes from there, and some wonderful friendships are formed. We get requests for, I'm only coming on the trip if so and so will drive me, or I want to be in his cab, is he still a driver, I want him to drive me. Can you let him know that we're coming on the trip because we would like him to drive us? You get that all the time. They love all the drivers, but as soon as they make the friendship with one driver, they always want that driver again. Those passengers stay in that cab for the whole trip. So this is how we make the bonds between the driver and the veterans. Our trips are free, so from when the veteran is picked up, there's no cost at all to the veteran, except any he needs his own beer money, as we always say, but there's no other cost that he'll be expected to pay. We even take out group insurance for the whole amount of passengers, drivers and veterans, for medical purposes and repatriation purposes. So there's nothing to pay at all, because a lot of the veterans worry that they can't get insurance to come on our trips. We put their minds at rest and just say everything is sorted out. You don't need anything at all. You have the accommodation is paid for the drivers. We try to put two drivers in a twin room. One of the biggest banes of my life is drivers snoring, so I always have to try and keep some spare rooms and move drivers around, because we just do not want drivers sleeping in the cabs while they're away and then looking terrible first thing in the morning. So we always try and accommodate the drivers as much as we can. The trip is over, we come back on the ferry, we normally have a big meal on the ferry together. Everyone swaps names and addresses, and the drivers then take them back home or back to the Union Jack Club. What we do find is that if the veteran is staying at the Union Jack Club and then travelling back home first thing in the morning, normally the same driver will go back to the Union Jack Club in the morning, pick them up and run them to whatever railway station they need to get at.
I found out a bit about the taxi charity for military veterans in one of the LTDA paper where they're advertising for drivers for their annual trip down to Worthing. So I just made a phone call to Paul Davis, the secretary, and I've been involved with it for nearly 9 years now. We do our annual trips out and we also go abroad. We've just come back from Normandy this year and Belgium earlier on. We've done Holland several times, several Normandies, several Belgiums, and all the bits in between, all our days out for the veterans, down to steam railways, parachute drops for the charity where some of the veterans, still 95, 96, are dropping in for the charity. And I also volunteer down at the Royal Hospital Chelsea to help them out as well. I recommend it to anybody. Give it a go, even the children's charities. If they want drivers, volunteer for the day, get yourself down to Margate or any of the other, I've done a couple of them myself, you know, get your name down for it, they want drivers, give it a go. You've got a day off of work. It's not too much to ask, and you will benefit from it. Certainly, of course you will.
Through these fields of destruction, baptisms of fire, I've witnessed your suffering as the battle reached higher. Thank you. written in the starlight, in every line in your palm. We're fools to make war on our brothers and our
Thank you to Dick Goodwin, Dave Hempstead, Matt Weston, and of course the veterans. Thank you also to Forces TV and their reporter Rob Ulver for the use of their audio. If you want to know more about the Taxi Charity for Military Veterans, then go to www.taxicharity.org.
Found Cab Chat, the show for London's taxi drivers.